Morning, members. I'm going to call this meeting of the State Government Finance and Elections Committee to order for Thursday, February 11th, 2021. Start out with the legislative aide to take the role.
Chair Nelson?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Present.
Representative Nash?
Present.
Representative Bonner?
Present.
Representative Drazkowski? Representative Elkins?
Present.
Representative Greenman?
Present.
Representative Cleborn?
Present.
Representative Kosnick? Representative Mason? Representative New Brindley. Representative Pulowski.
Pulowski present.
Representative Quam.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Ms. Sprick. Representative Carlson, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
Approval of the February 9th minutes, I believe.
Correct. Representative Carlson moves the approval of the minutes from February 9th, 2021. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? We have our minutes approved. The first bill on our agenda this morning is House File 75. Representative Moeller. Mr. Representative Moeller, are you here?
I am, Mr. Chair.
Oh, yep, I see. I'm just looking on my list. I'll move House File 75, and where is this going from here?
Mr. Chair, I believe it's going to Environment and Natural Resources.
Okay, then I'll move that House File, I see my thing here now, House File 75 to be referred to the Committee on Environment, Finance, and Policy. Representative Moeller, if you want to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have three amendments, and I don't know if you want me to go through those amendments first, or would you prefer a brief description of the bill from me?
Why don't we put the amendments on, and then you can explain the bill as you want it to present it. Mm-hmm. I'll move the House File, or the A4 amendment. Members, all in favor of the A4 amendment? If you want to briefly explain what that amendment does.
Sure, Mr. Chair. This amendment actually reduced the fiscal note with the bill, and it's related to the auditor, state auditor's audits, and she'll explain that too when she testifies today.
Okay. Okay, members, all in favor of House or the A4 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Next, we have the A5 amendment. Representative Moeller, if you want to explain that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is based on the amendment that you just adopted. This is putting the cost into the bill. It was a blank appropriation, and this fills in the blank.
So we don't have any dots in our bill anymore. Okay. All in favor of the A5 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. And then we have an A21 amendment. Do you want to explain that, Representative Moeller?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a technical fix. It's moving a comma.
That's going to be, might be a controversial amendment. All in favor of the A21 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes. Representative Moeller, please explain your bill now that we have it in the shape that it needs to be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. And members of the committee, so there have been concerns about Minnesota's civil asset forfeiture practice for years, especially in the areas of DWI cases and controlled substance cases. This is a compromise bill that you have before you today. It has bipartisan support. It has a broad coalition of stakeholders, many who have different views coming together. And in your packets, you can see both a brief outline of what this bill does and also the numerous stakeholders that were involved in this compromise language. You know, the motivation for supporting forfeiture reform is varied. There are concerns about how difficult it is for someone to challenge forfeiture, how it disproportionately impacts people of color and low-income people, There are concerns about due process to the person whose assets are forfeited, especially innocent owners, and concerns about how proceeds are utilized. And this bill really is the compromise bill to take those concerns into consideration. And I believe the focus for purposes of your committee, Mr. Chair, is really on the audit and the reporting requirements for the state auditor. And she is here to testify before your committee, Mr. Chair.
Okay, with that, State Auditor Blaha, if you want to please identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Nelson and committee members. I'm State Auditor Julie Blaha. And with me today are two of our OSA researchers, John Gerberg and Christy John. As you know, the State Auditor's Office oversees almost $40 billion in local government spending. And we do that with examination, support, and analysis. Well, the analysis portion of our work comes into play today. We, as you know, release an official report on asset forfeitures annually. In fact, we included it in the meeting materials today. And frankly, if you are watching this online and want to dig in deeper, go to our website and find that report and the raw data if you'd like to make your own calculations as well. Some of the big things that we found, I'm just going to skip right to the big numbers. One of the parts of this bill that we're particularly interested in are the limits on forfeitures under $1,500. We know that in 2019, forfeitures of that size totaled about $1.5 million. And it goes, the individual forfeitures averaged about $473. Now, when you take that all together and you look at that category, which accounted for 75% of the forfeitures that resulted in proceeds, and we're typical of what we saw the last 5 years, when you take that all together and compare it to local government spending on police and sheriff services in 2019, that was just over $1.7 billion. That means all forfeitures only counted for about 0.4% of those budgets. We think changes in such a small fraction of that budget are manageable. That we also know that the impact on individuals is disproportionately high. So we believe that restricting small forfeitures can benefit little costs. One caveat, of course, is that the most common criminal forfeitures or activities that lead to seizure, forfeiture, and final disposition of property in 2019 were DUI and controlled substance related. That was 94% of the forfeitures. So you need to temper expectations a bit on the overall impact of that set of restrictions. Now, on the technical note, when we looked at the oversight functions, one, we really appreciate that this coalition considered oversight right away and included it in their bill. Always a smart choice. We think that the additional reporting will be illuminative and illustrative, and so it's a good choice. One of the reasons we asked for the A4 amendment is because originally the bill had us set up to do regular audits of this reporting and this data. We believe we need to have an audit function to do that. We believe that our current options to investigate is going to be to handle the concerns, and those are already part of our current budget. So that amendment cuts about $160,000 out of the cost of the bill. Again, we're happy to conduct the audits if you ask us to, but we think that what people are looking for here really is something that is a response situation, where if you see an issue, you would have recourse more than you want us to see us to do proactive monitoring on this. So that would definitely reduce our fiscal note on this. Again, I think that this bill really, again, has a big impact on individuals at a small system cost. And with that, we are available to answer any questions.
Thank you. The next person I have on my list for testifiers is Julie Decker. I'm assuming the other two people that are, I got Don McFarland, but you mentioned somebody else, and John Gerberg, they're there to answer questions, I assume, Representative or Auditor Otto or Auditor Blaha. But Julie Decker, if you want to please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, good morning. My name is Julia Decker. I'm the Policy Director for the ACLU of Minnesota. And first and foremost, we're grateful to the stakeholders for all the hard work on this bill. As Representative Mueller indicated, law enforcement, prosecutors, as well as advocates, including ourselves, Americans for Prosperity, legal aid, criminal defense lawyers, all came to the table on this. And we're also very grateful to Representative Mueller for carrying this bill. I'm here to speak specifically to the new reporting requirements in HF 75. As many of you know, the ACLU of Minnesota believes strongly in the principles of transparency and oversight and accountability. And under the current law, law enforcement agencies are required to report certain information to the Office of the State Auditor. And then each year, the State Auditor compiles that information and releases a report on it. And this information is essential to understanding the scope of forfeiture and how it impacts Minnesotans. Now, through this reporting, we do get a lot of information already, including how much police are receiving directly in forfeiture proceeds. However, we currently do not get information about how law enforcement spends those proceeds. So we don't have confirmation of what those funds are being used for. Now, this bill fills in that gap by requiring reporting of how proceeds from forfeitures are spent. And advocates worked with the County Attorneys Association, representatives from the League of Minnesota Cities, the Minnesota Sheriff's Association to identify reporting categories that make it easy for local agencies to report expenditures and then for the state auditor to provide that additional information in the annual report. This will provide more transparency to the public and to the legislature, and we would hope confirmation that funds are indeed being used appropriately. So the ACLU of Minnesota supports this compromise bill as a much needed reform to asset forfeiture that, among other things, shines additional sunlight on forfeiture proceeds. Thank you.
And if you hang around for any questions at the end, the next person on my list is Bob Small. If you want to identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony, and then we'll get to questions.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, members of the committee. My name is Robert Small. I am the executive director of the County Attorneys Association, and I am here to support ask for your support for the passage of House File 75 from your committee. Representative Mueller and Ms. Decker have given you the information about how this bill came about, and the result of the process is the bill that you have before you. We all recognize that it's not perfect, but it is the result of hard work and compromise. So we appreciate the efforts of everybody who participated in this. We thank Representative Mueller for bringing this forward, and I have an assistant county attorney, and I will stand for questions if there's any questions on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Small. Members, in your packet that was sent out, an email to you, there's the fiscal note. Ms. Roberts, does that fiscal note include the reflective of the amendment we put on to lower the cost?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if you look at the fiscal note that is labeled House File 75-1UE, that is the correct fiscal note for the amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Members, any questions? I see Representative Nash has his hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Hope you can hear me. I'm in the car right now. But Representative Mueller, thank you for seeking the compromise that you did. I know this has been a process for you, and it's been I think since you got to the Capitol, and I'm pleased to see that it's got a wide bipartisan support. Pending on the answer of the question I have, I'll be adding my name to the bill. Tell me, if you would, what the cost to sheriffs, associations, or law enforcement agencies would be relative to the increased reporting or the more granular reporting that they may have to provide.
Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm wondering if I can turn this question over to one of my testifiers, perhaps Nora Sandstead from with the County Attorneys Association.
Ms. Sandstead, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with the answer.
Thank you, Chair Nelson and committee members. My name is Nora Sandstead. I'm an assistant county attorney in St. Louis County. And to address the question of Representative Nash, I can't tell you precisely what the cost increase would be for law enforcement, but I will note that law enforcement does already report a number of items to the state auditor related to forfeitures. And so in answering those questions and filling out the forms when they're reporting a forfeiture, they're just going to be answering more questions. So it'll take a bit more time, but I don't think there's going to be a significant increase in the burden of reporting for law enforcement.
Thank you, Ms. Sandstead. Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So to the county attorney, Ms. Sandstead, would you say that the order of magnitude is going to be a significantly larger number of questions or a handful of questions? I honestly don't have the number of questions that'll be increased. So if you could just give me a general highlight, not trying to be overly granular, just trying to figure out what is the cost that could be experienced by the law enforcement agencies.
Ms. Sandstead, and I think in the testimony, Representative Moeller, or the one amendment said, or what in the testimony there was talk about it. Now they're going to have to say how they spend the money, not just report how much money they took in. Ms. Sandstead.
And that is the difference, that the reporting on what the money is used for is going to be the most significant addition. But again, it's not going to be a different process, and the data is already there because we're government entities that collect and retain our data that has to be available anyway. So it's just making sure that we're reporting it efficiently to the state auditor's office, who provides a forum for that already.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, nothing further.
Representative Mason, you got your hand up.
I do. I just want to make a comment that I really appreciate this bill coming forward. I know it causes a lot of anguish for some people, and I also think it impacts the image of law enforcement. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mason. Any further questions? If not, Representative Moeller can wrap up your bill and we'll get you out of here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members, and thanks for your questions, Representative Nash, and your comments, Representative Mason. I appreciate it. Now is the time for us to enact these important forfeiture reforms. And I think one thing that we didn't mention when we were talking about how this bill came to compromise was the fact that the parties actually entered into mediation to get to this result, which is really quite astounding, and we appreciate certainly all of their efforts, and really hope that you can support this bill. Thank you.
I see no further hands up. I will renew my motion that House File 75, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Environment and Finance and Policy. All those in favor, all represented, are Ms. Spreck, if you want to take the roll.
Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Representative Cleavorn?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Mason? You're muted, Representative Mason. I think it's an aye.
It is aye.
Representative New Brindley?
Aye.
Representative Pulaski?
Pulaski, aye.
Representative Quam?
Aye.
The motion prevails. The bill's on its way. Thank you, Representative Moeller. Have a good day. And I don't know if Mr. Representative Freiberg is back yet. There he is. I see him. Representative Freiberg, welcome to the committee. We have House File 396 up now. I will move House File 396. To refer to the general register. Representative Freiberg, you have an amendment. If you want to explain the A1 amendment, and then we'll move it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, all the A1 amendment does is change the effective date to push it out a little bit. It would be it's mostly technical, but without the amendment, this would take effect for city elections happening in 2021 and wouldn't really give them enough time to get ready for the elections. So this just puts it out to 2022.
So I'll move the A1 amendment. All members, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Opposed? Say nay. The amendment's on. Representative Freiberg, if you want to explain the bill, and I see we've got a couple of testifiers and a couple of people to answer questions if needed. Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Chair Nelson and members of the committee. Several of the laws governing campaign finance in Hennepin County are unique to the county and are outdated, or in some cases conflict with state law. House File 396 does two primary things. First, it repeals the campaign finance section of Chapter 383B. Second, it replaces these 383B provisions with either Section 211A or 10A provisions. These changes provide more clarity to candidates, political action committees, and citizens, and it ensures there's an appropriate and timely disclosure of campaign finance information. Currently, candidates running for office in cities with a population greater than 75,000, this includes Minneapolis, Bloomington, Brooklyn Park, and I understand Plymouth very recently, or running for the Minneapolis School Board, file with Hennepin County. Under this bill, candidates running for county offices will continue to file with Hennepin County, but all candidates running for local offices will follow Chapter 211A and file with the local office for which they are running, just like everywhere else in the state. Similarly, under current law, PACs active in Hennepin County elections or in Minneapolis, Bloomington, Brooklyn Park, Plymouth, or the Minneapolis School District must file with either Hennepin County or the Campaign Finance Board. House File 396 provides that PACs active in these races must file with the Campaign Finance Board. By doing so, this bill fixes a gap in reporting requirements for PACs operating in these races. Under current law, these PACs, if registered with the Campaign Finance Board, do not file with Hennepin County. So when there are odd year elections like those in Minneapolis, these PACs follow current off-year Campaign Finance Board reporting, which only requires a year-end report. Thus, under current law, there is not sufficient transparency on PAC contributions in these elections, and this bill will fix that. With me today is Jenny Gelms, the Hennepin County Elections Director, to go over the bill in more detail and answer any questions the committee might have.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Gelms. If you want to state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Jenny Gelms. I'm the Hennepin County Elections Manager. Thank you for considering this bill today. I think Representative Freiberg covered all of the main points. I would just, you know, reiterate that this bill will simplify where candidates file. We've had a number of cities surpass that 75,000 population threshold over the years, including Brooklyn Park and now Plymouth, although that's not official until the census data is released. And the current chapter only both has that 75,000 threshold and names the cities that are to be filing with Hennepin County. And under that list, it was just the names of cities that had a population over 75,000 back when this chapter was enacted. So it fixes that confusion and has all of those candidates for all of those cities or the school district file with the cities instead of Hennepin County, as is done in all of the other cities in Hennepin County and as is done in every other city in Minnesota. That clarification will help candidates and the public know and keep consistent where that information is maintained and where to file it. I think it's also important to highlight this piece about political action committees that are active in Hennepin County and working on issues that are pertinent to local elections, because right now under 383B, the law allows them to choose whether they file with Hennepin County or with the State Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Those committees that have filed with the state are not subject to a reporting schedule that has them reporting on their activities in a local election year. So what we saw, for example, in the 2017 Minneapolis election is those committees that happen to have been filed with the state did not have to report on their activities until after the Minneapolis election had already occurred. So this bill will close that gap and will make it so that all of those political action committees do file with the State Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board and sets forth a reporting schedule for those committees to report on their activities in a timely fashion before the elections are occurring while those activities are occurring. But what's not changing is that Hennepin County officials will continue to file with Hennepin County, again, as is done in every other county in the state. And those smaller cities, candidates in those cities will continue to file with those cities, again, as this bill would have happened in larger cities as well. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Gelms. I see Representative Nash, you have your hand up. Representative Nash?
It was for a potentially different testifier. If Mr. Sigurdsson is on, I did have a question for him.
Well, go ahead. He's on the call, so go ahead and ask his question. And he's listed as if needed for to answer questions. So go ahead with your question, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Sigurdsson. Obviously, this is going to create some more work for your agency. Can you tell us, is this a lot extra work, and how, from a staffing perspective and funding perspective, is this going to impact your work?
You cut off at the very end, but Rep. Mr. Sigurdsson, if you want to again identify yourself for the record and answer the question. And before you go, members, there is a fiscal note that was in your packet. The fiscal note does list expenditures for this campaign finance board, but they, according to the note, they said they're going to absorb the costs. Representative Sigurdsson.
Good morning, Chair Nelson and members of the committee. My name is Jeff Sigurdsson. I'm the executive director of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. To Representative Nash's question, the Hennepin County has told us that this will be adding about 25 or so committees that will be migrating from Hennepin County over to the board. We already have about 475 committees and funds registered with us, so an additional 25 won't require any IT or additional staff to handle that number. It does create new reporting requirements in odd-numbered years, about 5 reports during odd-numbered years. But again, because almost all committees file electronically, we don't believe that that's going to create an issue for us, because the relative cost or marginal cost of processing a report is almost nothing. The one area that we did indicate that on the fiscal note that there would be a charge is that we'll have to develop 3 new schedules for the report, the ability to report contributions to local candidates, ability to report a separate schedule for reporting independent expenditures for or against those candidates, and then lastly, a schedule for reporting expenditures on ballot questions as defined in this bill. But again, that's we do have our own IT staff, and while there is some cost to that, it's the type of cost that we can absorb, especially since the effective date has been delayed, so that we have a year to work on it.
And Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so that you know, there are times that I already know the answer of the question that I'm asking, but because many members of the public do not necessarily download the packets or get the fiscal notes, that's the reason for my question. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Representative Nash, and it's a good day to get those questions on the record so that people understand. The next person I have on my list is Representative Claiborne. Representative Claiborne, what is your question?
This is really more of a statement, Mr. Chair. I have checked with the city of Plymouth, which will now be impacted by this bill, and they have no issues with it. And I would like to thank Representative Freiberg for bringing more transparency to our election process.
And Representative Freiberg, it's interesting that this bill affects Brooklyn Park, Plymouth, and Bloomington, and there's representatives from all 3 of those cities on the committee here. So we can all beat you up if we want to. Next person on my list is Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And, you know, again, this is maybe more of a statement, I guess, but I'll be brief. I just want to thank Representative Freiberg for bringing this forward. You know, when we talk about having good process that's streamlined and makes sense, making sure that everybody follows the same rules of the road makes perfect sense. And not only that, of course, obviously this rule makes sense because it gives greater transparency and it just makes the system more fair. So I do appreciate Representative Freiberg bringing this forward. While it may be a somewhat small change in the grand scope of things, I think it makes good sense. Thanks so much.
Any further questions? Give a couple seconds here to make sure no one's hand goes up. If not, Representative Freiberg, if you want to wrap up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I would appreciate your support.
And with that, I'll renew my motion that House File, right one here, 396 as amended, be sent to the General Register, referred to the General Register. All those in favor, Ms. Breck, if you want to take the roll.
Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Yes.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Representative Greenman?
She might be out, have stepped out for her vote on the net, or her bill that she has in the other committee.
Representative Cleavorn?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative New Brindley?
Aye.
Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski, aye.
Representative Quam?
Aye.
With vote of 12 ayes and, unless Representative Greenman wants to vote.
Yes, can I vote aye?
Yes. With a vote of 13 ayes, the motion prevails.
So with that, the bill is on its way to the General Register. Members, that's all we have for today. It was short, a little bit shorter meeting than normal, but our next meeting will be tomorrow morning, and we have an overview of the governor's budget by Minnesota Management and Minnesota Management anyway. And members, the bill did come to us. It was dropped in the hopper yesterday. Hopefully it'll be in the bills there. Hopefully we'll have a bill number and have the bill in front of us also tomorrow. So with that, members, we are adjourned for today. Have a good day. You too.